DW. A small, bright crowd has gathered in front of the temple at Bodhpura in the Indian state of Rajasthan. Some 80 women talk excitedly. They are dressed in saris of all colours and have pulled part of the cloth over their heads like a shelter from the midday sun. It's nearly 40 degrees Celsius. Usually the women retreat to the shade of the stone huts at this time of day until it's cooler, but today they're on a mission. These women are widows. Their husbands are victims of the stone industry. Because so many men here have died, places like Bodhpura are also dubbed widows' villages.
I'll come at the back. That's okay for me.
Today the women are headed to Bundi, the closest city. They squeeze into four minibuses for a 90-minute journey. The state governor is due to visit the city today. The women want to intercept her and draw her attention to their fate, the fate of women like Hira Bai.
My name is Hira Bai. My husband was Hari Singh. He died of silicosis 2 years ago.
Hira Bai's husband worked in the stone quarries around Bodhpura. Like for many of his colleagues, his work cost him his life. He suffered from silicosis, a deadly lung disease caused by the inhalation of fine dust particles.
6 months before he died, he was complaining constantly about breathing difficulties. Many of us here have similar breathing problems, so we didn't take it too seriously. But he always said, "No, this feels like I can't breathe at all."
Here are chisels, paving stones. It's not enough to earn a living, and incomes have decreased.
The stones used to belong to us. We collected rubble from the quarries and made paving stones out of it. We got 2.5 or 3 rupees for each stone. But now the mine owners provide the stones, and they only pay 1 rupee, 1 rupee 10 or 1 rupee 20 for each stone.
That development has left the women feeling exploited, but they don't have a choice. This is the only way to earn money.
Our children also work in the quarries and will suffer the same fate. They don't have a future. Nothing is changing, and I've lost half my life in the quarries.
In Bundi, rain cools the hot asphalt. People seek shelter under the tea stands and the awnings of houses. But Hira and the other women brave the downpour. They walk along a narrow street towards the building that houses the city administration, chanting, "Give us our rights." They are demanding money, compensation for their deceased husbands. Hira and another woman are also carrying a large banner which reads, "The Widows of Bodhpura." The next day, back in the village of Bodhpura, 55-year-old Radha Bai squats on gravel on the floor, chipping away at a grey stone. She was one of the widows at a protest in Bundi yesterday. Now, with a hammer and chisel in hand, she carves a big stone slab into shape, her turquoise sari striking a stark contrast with the drab surroundings. Her hands work quickly, each stroke precise.
I've been working in stone mines and the stone industry for 35 years. First, I transported stone. Then, for the last 20 years, I've been making paving stones because it means I can do the work here while sitting down.
Bodhpura lies at the center of India's paving stone industry. Most of the production is exported overseas, including to Europe and countries like Germany. Sold under the name Kandla Grey, these sandstone blocks are used, for example, to pave terrace floors or garden areas. Radha Bai lives with her three daughters and three grandchildren in a simple stone hut perched on a small hillside. They have two rooms and one bed. To get to work every morning, Radha walks 10 minutes down to a small valley behind the village. Small parasols mark the places where the women work. Here and there, trees sprout from the dry gravel. Radha sits under one of them, breaking the rock.
There are quarries all around the village. You can see the trucks. They all come from there, loaded with stones. And they unload them here so that we can chisel and sculpt them. All the quarries around here mine stone.
The whole region depends on the stone industry. India produces about a quarter of the world's natural stone. Only China produces more. On the one hand, this is good for locals. The boom in the Indian building sector and the export business have helped to create millions of jobs. On the other hand, it's dangerous work that kills many workers because the dust created by splitting the rock can be deadly in the long run. Radha Bai is sick because of the dust she's been exposed to for years.
I have silicosis. I'm very sick.
Silicosis is caused by the inhalation of silica, tiny particles of dust found in most natural stones. Sandstone, for example, has a lot of it, and it gets released when the stones break. In Germany, silicosis has been classed as an occupational disease since 1929. In India, it's also compulsory to report to the authorities, but awareness about silicosis and the grave dangers it's posing is only growing slowly.
We didn't know what it was. Then Ramesh came and took us to the doctor. He told us that we had silicosis. That was the first time we heard the name of this disease.
Radha says that was 4 years ago. Ramesh, a worker from the local NGO, came to the village and took people to the nearest university hospital. According to Indian law, silicosis patients are eligible to receive financial compensation, but in order to get help, those who are effective must prove they've worked with stone. But that's difficult because most people here don't have work contracts. In 2013, the Indian state of Rajasthan set up an independent fund to provide silicosis victims with compensation. Patients get a one-off payment of 100,000 rupees. The equivalent of around 1,300 euros, while their surviving family members are entitled to around 4,000 euros. Because Radha suffers from silicosis herself, she received a one-off payment. As a widow, she also gets a small pension. But if she had to live on it, she says she'd starve to death before the disease kills her. She earns about €1.30 per square metre of paving stone. That same candle grey paving stone is sold for at least €30 in Germany. As is so often the case in the global retail chain, it's the poorest workers right at the bottom of the production chain who get the smallest share of profits. Radha is demanding more support. She says she wants the money her family is entitled to when she dies to be paid before then.
What good is the money when I'm dead? I'm living now. If I can have the money now, then I can at least live better now. After all, I'm the one who's ill.
Dr. Vinod Jangid is a lung expert. For the past 3 years, he's been working at the University Hospital in Kota, a small town about 50 kilometres from Bhudpura.
There is no cure for silicosis right now because the fine particles deposit into the lungs and that cannot be removed. Only we can reduce the inflammation and treat the second infection.
Each week, Jangad diagnoses and treats up to 8 silicosis cases. Since Rajasthan set up the compensation fund in 2013, more than 8,400 cases have been compensated. According to a study by the government's Medical Research Council, doctors detected silicosis in every second quarry worker tested. NGOs estimate that there are at least 800,000 affected miners in Rajasthan alone. On top of that, there are the paving stone workers like Radha and the children working in the stone industry. Urmila is the youngest silicosis patient in Bupura. The 19-year-old lives a few streets away from Radha Bai with her parents and younger brother. She got sick when she was 12.
I've been getting medical treatment for 7 years, but I only heard about this disease for the first time when I came to the university hospital. Before that, I was given medication for lots of different diseases because the doctors didn't really know what I had. Sometimes they said this, sometimes that. I never got the right medication for my illness. That's the problem. That's why a lot of people die. And then I was finally told that I have silicosis.
Even as a young girl, Urmila would go to her mother's workplace after school and was exposed to the dust from the stones. At the age of 13, she started working there herself, even though it's actually illegal. But reality doesn't always abide by the law.
My mother was alone and couldn't afford to feed us and send us to school. So I had to drop out of school and started to work. There's only one private school nearby, but the fees are very expensive. How are poor people supposed to afford it?
Now, instead of working down in the valley with the paving stone carvers, Urmila goes to the offices of a local NGO every day. Along with 15 other girls, she's training to be a seamstress. Still, when they get home from the course in the afternoon, some of the girls are forced to pick up their hammers again and chip away at the rocks to earn money.
There should be more work for women and girls so that they don't need to chisel stones to make a living. I'm sick, but I don't want anyone else to get sick.
There are ways to prevent silicosis, for instance, by using water to absorb the dust. That's why dry drilling is prohibited in Rajasthan's mines. But few quarries enforce these rules. Special masks for the workers also make a huge difference. But the masks are expensive and very uncomfortable to wear in the heat. And often mine owners don't provide their workers with the right models. Rana Sengupta runs the non-profit Mine Labour Protection Campaign Trust. He says the only solution is stronger regulation in the sector.
But in the settlements where the mine workers are working on the cobbles, which is not a mine, which is not a factory, there's somebody who has dumped stone in front of your house. So there's a group of people who are working on the stones until it is cleared away. And there is some agent who comes and procures it from that site. You can't define it as a mine or a factory. They have to stop that kind of working. Either you have to work in a factory or into a mine. That is illegal.
Without official working contracts, workers can't demand employers to respect their rights to provide protective measures like masks, nor pay compensations. Of course, even with proper contracts, it's still unsure whether workers' rights are respected. But when there's no transparency at all, there's no chance for workers to improve their conditions. That's what consumers abroad should be aware of, Sengupta says.
In the supply chain, the German buyer has to ask the supplier, the last end supplier, to get the identity of the worker, to maintain records of the workers, whether it is in the factory or whether it is the mine.
At the end of the afternoon, Hira, Radha and the others walk to the hotel where the state governor is taking part in a meeting. The women have not eaten all day. They're hungry and tired. Some sit down on the floor. The others continue to chant their demands. The women even come up with new chants. Some are pushing their fists up in the air, laughing. For a moment, it seems as if they were having fun. Dusk is falling when finally an administrative officer from the city offices comes out to talk to them. She promises that next week the compensation payments will get processed. For the first time, Hira Bai is a little optimistic.
I've been here quite a few times, at least 15 or 20 times. I've been coming every 4 or 6 weeks over the past 2 years, but so far no one has listened to us. I really do have hope now. I've been wishing for something to happen for so long. They've promised so many times. And now perhaps it really will happen next week.
DW